It's a wonderful name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm glad he is too, aren't you? So glad that he is with us. Thank the precious name of Jesus. I will do my best. I only have 10 pages of notes today. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want you to miss anything, so I'm going to do my best just to do half of it this morning and half of it tonight. So if I promise I won't go too long and only do half of it, you promise and be the other half of church tonight. Now the other half say amen. If you would, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When we read one verse of Scripture as our text, and we got some other verses of Scripture. But I was thinking as we were singing that song, Emmanuel, and most of you seem to be so excited about Emmanuel, God with us, sending His Son before us. I'm so excited and so exuberant about worshiping and praising Him. But I wonder how long that will last. Hopefully it'll last through today. Tonight, into tomorrow, next week, hopefully it will, but we are human beings and we have to keep that kindled and we have to keep that fire burning and we have to keep that going because that's just the way we are as human beings. We get sidetracked, but we are so blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, you are so blessed. You're so blessed. If you don't have a neighbor on that side, just look to the other side and tell them, you are so blessed. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, as you stand for the reading of God's Word, I won't make you stand very long. Very, very, very awesome passage of Scripture. You think, well, this time of year we read out of the book of Matthew, we read out of the book of Luke, and we'll get there, but there's some things I want to set the scene. And it may take me a while this morning to set the scene of this incredible, this indescribable, this unspeakable gift that God has given us through His Son. Paul simply said to the church at Corinth, thanks be to God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Another translation says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. His indescribable gift. It's so vast. It's so awesome. It's beyond our comprehension that God would bankrupt heaven and send His only begotten Son to bring reconciliation and redemption to people like you and I. It's totally blind, mind-boggling. We can't describe it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So today we're going to indulge and look into that unspeakable gift that He's given us. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father God, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your Son. Lord, we ask You today, Lord, that His presence and His Spirit will literally explode within this place in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name. So if this gift that God give us through His Son Jesus Christ is so undescribable, so unspeakable, or indescribable and unspeakable, then why is not the whole world hunger to desire it, to seek it, and to get more of Him? We go to great lengths. There is times that... trying to think, there's a show called Gold Rush, something like that, and these guys go to extremes just to get a little bit of gold out of a raging river or the depths of the Barren Sea or the rocks and the mountains, they go to extreme just to get that indescribable gift called gold that is $1,400 an ounce, whatever. And it may take them a whole day just to get an ounce, or a whole week to get an ounce, or a whole month to get an ounce. But God has sent His Son that is with us right now. We just sung about it. Emmanuel, He is with us right now. He is present. So why is it it's so easy for you and I to praise Him today and be so busy tomorrow that we set Him on the back corner somewhere and we get to Him later? I find in the book of Matthew that in chapter 13, it talks about some guys that found some treasure, and they did everything they could to maintain and possess that treasure. Said in verse 43 of the 13th chapter of Matthew, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun, the kingdom of their Father who hath an ear, let him hear." The writer here was telling us, listen to what's being said, not what you think's being said, not how you want to interpret it, but listen what the Spirit is telling us. And he said again, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buys the field." I wonder today, what is it that you're retaining and you won't sell to get everything that God has for you through His Son? What are you willing to sell? This passage of Scripture said this man sold everything. He found a treasure in the field, and he sold everything he had to obtain it. He said, "Well, I really don't have to. He paid it already all. He's already paid it all. Salvation is free, but our commitment and dedication to Him is going to cost you something. And after what He has given to you, what are we willing to give Him in return?" Hello? He sold everything that he had. And he said, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man that seeketh goodly pearls, and who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." I just wonder again today, making the statement, what are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give Christ our all? What kind of excuses do we make? I wonder, I'm just going to jump out here on the limb, and if you want to saw it off, I'll bounce back up. But I'm just going to jump out here on the limb right quick. I wonder if God really feels like it's sufficient that we only come to His house once a week. I wonder if it's really sufficient when He tells us to give our tithes, which represents a tenth of all of our income, if it's sufficient for Him if we decide we only give 2 or 3%. Or any at all. Are we willing to give it all? You know, unbeknownst to a lot of people, this is not just something that's been handed down from church generation to church generation. It's the Word of God that is yea and amen. And if we believe God saves, we ought to believe in paying tithes. If we believe God heals, we ought to believe in coming to His house, even the more as you see the day approaching. If we believe God's word is true, one little bit of it, we ought to believe, "Be ye kind one to another." We want everybody to give us grace, but all we want to return is give them grass, kicking up dirt. I've told you the story about the chickens, hadn't I? I absolutely hate those suckers. I like to eat their eggs, and I like them when they're fried, but when they're alive, I don't like them. They're mean, they're ornery, they kill each other, they will absolutely destroy each other. If any one of those chickens got a bad spot on them, the rest of them will pick him to death till he's dead. And I wonder sometimes if we really believe God's word, because nowhere in the Bible it tells us to pick each other to death like the chickens do. It doesn't say that. So I wonder in the luster of things, and we get so busy and just in case you're wondering, I got a whole bunch of this stuff this morning that I want to share with you. If we are so busy with so much stuff and we neglect God, I wonder, are we really giving Him all that we have? Have we really analyzed it? Have we lost the luster? Have we lost the vision? And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net in which he cast it into the sea, and he gathered of all kinds, every kind of fish, a good, bad, the fish, the good, bad, and the ugly. In verse 48, which when he had filled it, he drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into a vessel, but cast the bad back into the sea. We've got to base it all upon what God has for us. We have somehow lost the splendor of a Savior that was born over 2,000 years ago. Would you preach with me just a little bit? I've still got at least 30 minutes, okay? So just stick with me then. And then if I preach too long after that, just go eat your chicken, okay? And remember what I said. Have we allowed, when we first got saved, we could whip a bear with a toothpick. When we first got saved, we wasn't ashamed to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus Christ. But after a while, we mature and we kind of get set in our ways, and somehow we have lost the splendor of the King. Somehow, I'm not going to hurry this morning because I'll try to take it up tonight, but somehow we've lost the majestic awe of His power. We've lost the spectacular view of His love. I remember the first time, and I believe it was in 88, that when we crossed the plains and we started coming into Colorado, there on the north side of Kansas or middle of Kansas, and we caught the glimpse of the mountains with the snow on top, and the splendor and the majesty was like, wow, dude, why in the world am I not living here? Why am I living back there? You know what I'm talking about? There was the splendor of it. But we've lost the spectacular view of God's love and the extravagant, we have lost the vision of the extravagant depth of God's mercy and the elaborate beauty of His kingdom. Oh, we talk about the beauty of God's kingdom, and we talk about the beauty that we're going to walk on streets of gold, and there's mansions on every corner and a river of life, and we talk about all of that and all the jewels and all the beauty and all the gold, and the gates are solid pearl, and as soon as we leave the house of God, we're talking about our pretty car and talking about our pretty houses, and we've lost the extravagance, the elaborate beauty of His kingdom. And I think perhaps most of all, if we could put it in categories, we have set aside the majestical grandeur of His glory, the grandeur of His glory. Hello? You're listening, right? Okay? It's like a kid walking into a huge toy store or a super displayed candy store for the first time. Wow. All those words that I mentioned a while ago, the splendor, the majestic, the elaborate, the extravagant, the spectacular, the grandeur of all that good stuff. He just can't help himself, and he's beside himself. How many knows what I'm talking about? Nobody? If you know what I'm talking about, lift your hands. Oh, all right. Those that don't know what I'm talking about, if you'll meet me after church, I'll take you to a candy store that's filled, and you'll get that. All of that. I mean, I've done it. You've done it. Our kids have done it. We have seen that. I'm tell you how old I am. I can remember as a kid, we lived in the north part of Bentonville, and there was two little bitty mom and pop stores that perhaps capitalized on candy, ice cream, and pop. In the summertime, we would walk up to Oakley's store, and back then, you didn't have to come up with about a dime or a quarter, and you could go back home with a week's worth of stuff. You know what my favorite part of the week was? When Mom said, hey, let's run up to Oakley's right quick. And we walked most of the time because we wasn't too far. You all ain't never been to Oakley's. You remember the orange sherbet push-ups? Oh my, some of you, I see drool coming out of the side of your mouth. The grandeur of those things. Whoo, glory, make you want to shout. I mean, just, so some of you is finally getting the picture. Let me see if I can get somebody's Keeley right here. It's like a man that's receiving a beautiful stainless steel handgun with the word Kimber engraved on the side. Or it's that shotgun that you've been drooling over for the last 10 years that has Benelli engraved on the barrel. Man, I'm in somebody's shouting territory right now. You know what the sad part is when the candy's gone and the gun's been shot up, we put in the case and we got rid of the candy, and all of a sudden, it's all over. It's all gone. And ladies, I wouldn't want to be sacrilegious by leaving you all out. But it's like the women that just walked into their favorite dress store. It has a sign on the front door saying 75% off of entire stock. Whew. I mean, you just about, if you'd had a wig, you'd have flipped it right then. It was... Remember the scripture that I read before in whatever I read in Matthew? Hear what the Spirit's saying. Understand what I'm talking about here. It's that 70% off on the door that grabs your attention, or you just opened up the gift from your sweetheart, your husband, with that 5-carat diamond ring set in the center of the most beautiful gems of your birthstone that you'd ever seen in your life. Don't tell me you don't get excited. We get excited about all this stuff, but we you know, the Lord's just not up to that. Whoa, hello. We get excited about all that other stuff, but when we come to God's house, if we raise one hand at a time, we're doing good. But most of the time, we can get excited about that. But Jesus just don't equal those things. Is that not what we're saying? Or am I missing something somewhere? It's like those who have been waiting from one Christmas to the next Christmas to get that perfect gift with the excitement and unspeakable joy when it's open, just to lay it aside 6 weeks later and only on occasions pick it up again. We've lost our excitement, or we've allowed it to lose its excitement. Look over, grab somebody by the arm and say, we've got to get excited about Jesus again. It's the kids who cry for that so adoring toy, and you've seen them in Walmart. You want to help mom and dad get them under control so desperately. They'll throw a hissy fit on both sides of the aisle. They don't even know what they want. They're just glad to be there. They adore that toy. They receive it with excitement only to put it away and hide it in their toy chest or in the closet and realize that a few weeks later it didn't really mean that much, and we go back to playing with cardboard boxes and sticks out in the yard. And we've lost sight of the grandeur. We've just been preoccupied with too many other things. Listen to what the Spirit's saying. The natural things with the spiritual things go hand in hand. Us that's grandparents, they ain't nothing any more grandeur than to hear that grandbaby cry and take its first breath when it's born. And when you hold it for the first time, all of a sudden you suddenly realize that that is God's gift to you because you didn't kill your own. I don't know why God didn't let us have grandkids first. Have you all figured that out yet? There's just something spectacular about that. I mean, they can make a mess. They can soil their diapers. You can clean it up. You don't have a bit of a problem because it's your grandbaby. You're filled with that love and that joy. It don't matter. You can spoil them till they're rotten and they stink and send them home to mom and daddy and you still love them to pieces. Am I telling you the truth or what? Whatever the reason we have the splendor and the majestic and spectacular beauty that once permeated our heart for Jesus Christ has evaporated from our hearts and our minds and our desire. We have allowed it to evaporate. And I want to bring you back to reality that just because in our minds and our hearts we've allowed it to evaporate. And you say, well, I really haven't. But do you still have the grandeur in your heart that you did when you first got saved? Do you still have that feeling of awesomeness and awe when you talk about Him, or if you talk about Him, or you worship Him? But we have allowed it to evaporate. It has evaporated from our hearts. It's evaporated from our desire. It's evaporated. You know why I know that I'm preaching the truth this morning? Because Congress and Senate wouldn't be in the mess that they were if the church was still on fire like it used to be. You remember, some of you will remember this, be more fresh in your minds than others, but you remember when you met your sweetheart for the first time? Oh, you don't. I remember, been a long time ago, when Sister Diane, I was working in the grocery store, come around the corner. I'd seen her in school a couple of times, but I was too bashful to say anything. But I was at the store, and I was stocking lunch meat. As a matter of fact, I was putting out bologna. And she come around the corner, and my heart started beating different. Heard somebody say, aw. And when I see her, it still beats different. Do you know what? You know what? It's not her that's lost her beauty. She's still beautiful. But it's me that has to keep the fire burning, have to keep my mind right, have to keep my heart right, have to keep the fire burning. It's me that has to do it. And it's the same way, I'm about ready to preach here today, it's the same way with Jesus. He has not lost His beauty. He has not lost His splendor. It's me that has to keep the fire burning. It's me that has to keep the luster and the grandeur of His awesome power alive and burning in my heart and my life. My word, I didn't mean to get going that fast, that quick. We've lost it somewhere. When we first met our sweethearts, there wasn't nobody or nothing in this world that could keep us apart. People meet us on the road when we was with our sweetheart going down the road. They couldn't tell who was even driving. Everything you shared, you didn't have to have two milkshakes. You only had to have one and two straws. Everything you shared, you preferred each other over than the other. Come on, somebody, am I telling you the truth today? I know this may be a little bit off the wall, but it's really not. It's right down where the rubber meets the road. Everything we shared, we preferred each other before ourselves. But times have changed. We've allowed things become between us. We take separate vacations. We sleep in separate beds. We eat separate meals. We don't have time for one another. We've allowed something to come between us. The honeymoon is over and the commitment doesn't mean what it once did. nor does it have the luster. Told Sister Diane several times, we're still on our honeymoon, and when it's over, you're in trouble. But after 45 years, we're still on it. What about you? That commitment doesn't have the luster. It doesn't have the genuineness. It doesn't have the grandeur that it used to. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. You know that I am. And another reason I know I'm telling you the truth, because divorce rate is over 50% in the churches as much as it is in the world. So how can I not be telling you the truth? We've lost something. We've let the fire go out. We've let the awe leave us. Listen, you cannot blame your spouse for the fire going out or the awe being missing. The awe starts in your heart. The fire has to start in your heart. You say, well, they just don't look like they used to. You don't either. Maybe again, that's why there's so many divorces. Perhaps the awe among the married couples. Listen, I want to tell you, young couples, it's God's desire for you to keep the awe and the fire burning between you two. I said between you two. Don't let nobody else build a fire between you all. You keep the fire burning in you all. I ought to have had about 150 amens right then. And perhaps with that being said, perhaps there's more of a connection there than we really think in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Perhaps the awe among married couples have waned, and the same they have with the love for each other has waned, and the same we have let our love for Christ wane. Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You think that there is a connection? We no longer love Christ like we used to, so we don't love our wives like we used to. I ain't even on the first page. This is pages A and B. But I'm here to tell you the truth. I struggle over holiday messages because it seems like it's the same old thing, and that's the whole problem. The same story ain't the same old thing. It's got to have the awe put back in it. Some of you need to go out for lunch today and put the awe and the zip back in your marriage, in your love life. I was blown away with all the amens on that one. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. I'm telling you, Houston, we got a problem here. It's 10 minutes till time for you to eat dead chicken, and I'm only on B, and I got 8 more pages to go. When we thought there was a treasure, we found that indescribable gift has lost its splendor and grandeur, not because the awe is not there, but because we've lost our vision. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but we have lost our magic. I don't mean voodoo type magic or pulling a rabbit out of a hat type of magic. Y'all understand what I'm saying, don't you? We have allowed the magic to evaporate from our relationship. Not only from our relationship with our spouse, but our relationship with Christ. We have become preoccupied with other things. The cost has created a deficit that has left us empty and cold. The cost of maintaining, problem is in so many relationships, we don't want to pay the price or pay the cost to keep that relationship in its full grandeur or in its full capacity of love. Therefore, we don't put the effort in it that we used to. And therefore, with Christ, we don't put the effort. It doesn't cost us. It depends on how much we worship God, on how much it costs us. And we don't put that cost in there anymore because we've lost the awe. We have lost that magic, if you please, in that relationship, if I can please use that word. Hey, it's not your mate that has lost the glow. Let that sink in. Newsflash. It's you. It's not your mate that's lost its glow. Excuse me. It's that we no longer value the gift for what it's worth. Can I say that again? Chris repeated himself this morning a couple times, so I'm going to follow suit. We no longer value the gift for what it's worth. Amen, sister. Bless you. I mean, if adults want to amen, yeah, I'll get the kids to scream. I'll just take it as an amen and move on. We have traded our gift, our treasure. Are you listening to me? Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. It'll make everybody feel better. Listen, remember what the first part of this, listen to what the Spirit is saying. We our mate's not the one that's lost its glow. We no longer value our gift or what it's worth. We have traded our gift, we have traded our treasure for a cold bowl of porridge. We have traded our gift. We thought we was going to die if we didn't get it. We have traded our treasure. We've traded our gift for a cold bowl of porridge, waiting for our rainbow to appear. Are you ready for this? Man, this ought to knock your socks off. We're waiting for our rainbow to appear when we fail to realize that the day star is present the whole time. Y'all didn't grab a hold of that like you should have. We're looking for the rainbow when the day star is already here. We have failed to see the awesome grandeur of His love. The gift that He has given us is both unspeakable and indescribable. James chapter 1 verses 16, 17, and 18 put it like this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I mean, it is the best of the best. Of his own will He brought forth by His word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of His creature. Isn't it amazing that He still does what He's always done? He's still merciful, still the healer, still the King. He's still in heaven. After all these years, He's still sitting at the right hand of the Father. After all these years, His eyes still going to and fro across the old earth. And after all these years, He's still saving the lost, healing the sick, delivering those, keeping His hand upon those. After all these years, He still loves the unlovable. He still loves. It's that indescribable gift. Isaiah prophesied nearly 700 years before it happened. And he said, a child's going to be born. The government's going to be up on his shoulders. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we'll get into that tonight. So I hope you be sure, make your presence before the King of Kings. It's bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, some way, somehow, help us, oh God, not to allow our awe to wane of you, not to falter. Help us, oh God, to build the fire. Help us, oh God, to kindle the holy presence of Almighty God within sight of us. Lord, let this message be twofold. Let our couples draw closer together and build such a relationship that hell can't pull them apart. And even more so, help us, oh God, to build a relationship with you that we not one time think about leaving you, but that we praise you daily. We praise you hourly. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Anyone, no one looking around. Is there anyone here today, you don't know this Jesus as your personal Savior? But he sounds awful awesome, and you'd love to just know him. He is our Heavenly Father. The awe of his love is far past our finding out. So for just a second, I'm not going to tarry. You need to know where you're at and what's happening, what's going on. Do you want to know him? Do you want him in your heart and life? Seeing no one moving, I wonder how many of us today love Jesus. How many would lift your hand toward heaven and say, God, I need the awe to come back in my life like it once was. God, I need your presence, your spirit, your power, your awesomeness, your splendor. Would you just lift your hands toward heaven right now and say, God, will you just pour it on me? Help me to build the fire. Help me to know what to do. Help me, God, that I kindle that fire one more time, and that I not only sense it, but I see it, feel it, the presence and the grandeur and the awesomeness of your beauty. Lord, I love you, I appreciate you, and I worship you, Lord Jesus. Father, God bless your people. Touch them and minister to them. Lord, that we will give you our very best. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Somebody just praise him. He's worthy. Somebody just give him a praise. Lord, thou art worthy. Lord, thou art worthy of all things.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you.
And we just stand all over the building today, the sanctuary. Let's just give him praise as we sing this song.
See on the portals, he's waiting and watching for you.
Oh, yes.
For me.
Somebody touch him today.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy for you and for me. And oh, for the wonderful love promised for you and for me. Though we has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me.
Hallelujah. May God bless you and the awe of Jesus Christ in this season permeate your hearts and your home. God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, in Jesus' name. Amen.